Good morning. Such a joy to worship with you this morning and to once again be reminded that we are not alone. We are incredibly loved. And the text this morning is a reflection, a part of God's message to you, who He loves you so much and longs that you be blessed and prospered. We're in this sermon series called Getting Fit. And we want to encourage you and each other to get fit because you are so loved. And God has so many blessings He wants to pour out on you. And the more we get fit spiritually, emotionally, mentally, and this morning physically fit, the more we do that, the more we can experience God's blessings. And also, the more, and talked about this last week, that we together as a church, and we are, you know, we talked about a ship, a church compared to a boat, a ship, and we would all love to, for the church to be primarily like a cruise ship, where we can just kind of come and enjoy life and enjoy God's blessings and but there is that element there, but a more accurate analogy of a church in the New Testament is the church is like a aircraft carrier, where there's the whole crew committed, engaged to a purpose to fight the battle. And the aircraft carrier sends off its fighter jets to do the work, but everyone on the ship, the whole crew, is so important to accomplish its mission. And it's so important that everyone on the aircraft carrier remains incredibly fit so that the mission can be accomplished. So that's kind of the series. This morning it's physical fitness. And I have to admit that come Monday, this past Monday, I was rather grumpy. Why couldn't Joel Curtis have this sermon? But I was stuck with it. That's how I felt Monday. As I went through the text, and that was read by Joel, you can turn to that in your Bible devices in 1 Corinthians 9. This morning, I am incredibly excited about this message. Convicted, but also excited about the message of getting fit physically to win the prize. And in my journey this week in this text, and I hope that you'll experience that this morning, and praying that the Holy Spirit will do that to your heart, as I caught a better glimpse of the prize, as I saw the prize, then I felt in my spirit, in my heart, this passion, desire for fitness, including physical fitness. And yes, sometimes we don't think of physical fitness as being that spiritual thing. We kind of often minimize it. But the Bible does say in 1 Timothy that bodily exercise profiteth. Now it says little, King James. But there is some value to physical fitness. Our bodies are what? Say it. The temple of the Lord, the Holy Ghost. So we are God's temple, and so since we are the temple, God wants us to be physically fit. Now, among us, there are some of these marathon runners, and I don't understand you, but I admire you. And these people that do CrossFit are just, they're in the gym, and they're just consumed with being physically fit. When I'm around them, I don't feel very good about myself often if I think about that, because I'm not one of those. I would love to be one of those someday, maybe in heaven, but kind of given up on this earth. My point is that physical fitness isn't about being a marathon runner or being working out in the gym every day. Now let me compare it. We talked about mental fitness, and this past winter We brought in a speaker from Ravi Zacharias International Ministries. It focuses on apologetics. If you want to listen to some podcasts on apologetics, which is defending the rationale for, is the Christian faith rational? Can the Bible be trusted? Is it true? What's the logic behind that? Great teachings from RZIM Ministries. Google that, and good stuff to listen to. But anyway, we brought in Nathan Rittenhouse. This guy was, he's 30 years old, a young whippersnapper, and he had a mind that was incredible. He knew God's word, and he could articulate and the defense of our faith. And I'm like, oh boy, I feel so dumb sitting under him. He was, and then he made this brilliant statement at the end of his series of talks. He said, God hasn't called everyone to be an apologetics speaker like I am. In fact, we're rather few and far between. But God has given me this gift with my mind to understand and articulate and explain a rationale for the faith. And there's a few of us in the church, and we're needed. But don't feel bad if you're not one of those, because everyone has different gifts. And then I relaxed. I was like, okay, that's not my gift. So same way physically. Now, I don't know, wherever you're at in your physical condition this morning, young or old, fit or not so fit, relax. God has called us to different levels of fitness, as mentally, physically, and we don't have to apologize when we're around marathon runners. But we are called to be fit, and that's where we're going this morning. And I want to explain this and using the text here. So in 1 Corinthians 9, Paul talks about this prize that is such a big deal in his life. And we'll get to that in a little bit. Run to win, and he compares it to athletes. So Paul was writing this in the context of the Greek culture. Think Olympics, where physical fitness was a really big deal. And there were runners he compares to, disciplined runners, and boxers. We'll get into that with the text. But all the athletes, they're disciplined in their training because there's a prize out there. But that prize will fade away. So we as followers of Jesus, of Christians, there is also a prize for those who are fit, physically and other ways. But it's an eternal prize. And so Paul gets into this verse. Let's see here. Oops, there we... I strike a blow to my body and make it my slave so that after I have preached to others, I myself will not be disqualified for the prize. Now, that some translations have the word discipline there. I discipline my body. I strike a blow to it. And that's the same Greek phrase that's used in Galatians 5:22, is it, where the fruit of the Spirit, when the Holy Spirit lives in your life, then that Spirit in you begins to change your heart and produce character qualities, fruit, Spirit fruit, that change your life. Things like love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, all this fruit that the Holy Spirit works in your heart. And the last one is self-control. That's a fruit of the Spirit. It's something that God works in your heart. He changes our hearts so that we can be more, and the same phrase there, disciplined in our body. And so Paul says, I strike a blow to my body, and that he's using the analogy of a boxer. And so boxing at the time of Paul, they didn't have gloves. They wrapped their hands with leather thongs, so I'm told, red. And they just beat each other, bloodied each other, until one of them couldn't stand anymore. And as I understand it, there were no timeouts and timers and rings. They just went at it. It was brutal, brutal boxing. And Paul uses that analogy for self-discipline, I strike a blow. I brutalize my body and make it a slave so that I have preached to others. I myself will not be disqualified for the prize. The prize is so important that Paul says, as a boxer gets beat up, so I beat myself up. Now, the danger there, and some Christians over the years have taken this, and they have went to religious asceticism. If you don't know what that means, don't worry about it. But it's a term that means like we exercise extreme discipline. And out of that discipline, there's somehow some merit that's going to make us a better person or a holy person. So there's value in discipline and discipline itself. So history tells us about 400 AD about Simon. And Simon lived in Aleppo, Syria. Aleppo's been in the news, sadly, the last while. And he was a devout Christian, and he decided, and he actually, history says, spent 30 years living atop a pillar, something like this. And he spent 30 years alone, praying, seeking to be holy, and thinking that that extreme beating his body into whatever to be holy has religious merit. And he was claimed as a great saint. Today, we would say Simon is probably misled. So that's an example of religious asceticism. That's not what Paul is talking about at all in this verse. But he's talking about disciplining our body so that we can win the prize. And you discipline through self-control. The fruit of the Spirit is self-control. Now, I want you to think about something about self-control here. Is that so often we think, well, what's your passion? What's your passion? And follow your passion. Follow your heart. And we get excited about this. And I'm frustrated with myself often is that I just have too many hobbies. I get so excited about so many different things. So Scott Miller talks to me about raising chickens. And I come home and I'm going to raise chickens. And then the next day, there's something else. And I'm over there. I was like, Joe, get a grip. You know, you can't do it all. And so I tend to be that way. And so if you're following your passion and you're letting that control you, and that's your motive for self-discipline, you get tripped up. That's my point. If just your passion is your motive for self-discipline, you can get tripped up. Like, I can get really passionate about eating chocolate ice cream. This is so good. And then I think, I can get really passionate about being fit and eating healthy. Like, so there's two competing passions. So which one am I going to follow? I really want to have a successful career. I'm going to exceed in my field. And I throw myself into it. Then I come home and I look at my wife and my kids and say, I'm going to really succeed in being a family man and take care of my family. And then we end up being frustrated with, you know, you get the picture. So here's where I'm going with this. Self-discipline comes not from following your passion, but deciding what you love, what is the supreme thing that you love, that is important to you. What is the supreme thing in your life? And you decide what that is, and then self-control follows that. Self-control will come. So it doesn't start with self-control. It starts about with deciding what you love. Are you with me? Think about that. What do you love supremely? And self-control follows. Now that's in the natural, but it's even more so in the spirit, because when you decide to love Jesus supremely, that loving Jesus is what you want more than anything, and living out the gospel is what you want more than anything, then you're aligning yourself to the work of the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit works that fruit in you, love, joy, peace, and one of those is self-control. Isn't that good news? So when you decide that your love for Jesus is the supreme love in your life, then God comes alongside and you say, good, I'll help you. to learn self-control, to discipline your body so that you can love Jesus supremely. So that's the bit about discipline, about self-control. I want you to think about that as we go through this, the rest of this here. What I love supremely, this, if you love the supreme thing supremely, self-control will follow. And unapologetically, for every one of us here, the supreme thing in your life that God wants, He created you to be, is to love Jesus supremely, to love Him and to follow Him. So now, what's the prize that Paul is saying? Paul, obviously, he's loving Jesus. He's an apostle. He's committed to follow Jesus, to serve Him. And he's beating his body, he's disciplining his body so that he's not disqualified for the prize, so that he wins this eternal prize. And so, the prize, I think in this text, you can't narrow it down to one prize. I tried for a while this week, but I said, no, you can't do that and be faithful to the text. Paul talks about the prize of salvation. See that? So I will not be disqualified for the prize. And another, the idea of that Greek word again is to be cast away, to be cast out of the games. So a runner that competes, and we hear of sports professional athletes all the time, that are wanting so desperately to win the prize that they take enhancing drugs, whatever, and they get disqualified and they're thrown out. Paul says, I don't want to be cast away. I don't want to be thrown out. And so you have to go to this, the prize of salvation. Now, there's some streams of thought in the Christian church of eternal security, that once you are saved, you can never lose your salvation. There's another stream that says, well, if you really are sinning, then there's no way you can be saved. And here at Oakdale, I personally and we as elders, we reject both of those, that we are eternally secure in God's love. And when we sin and fail and we have a bad day, then God does not cast us away. We are not disqualified from salvation. But Paul makes this point in this text, and there's a lot of other texts that I don't have time to get into this morning, but they talk about that if you are a Christian, and if you live such a undisciplined, self-centered life, that you disregard serving Jesus, and you disregard God's word, and you disregard walking in obedience, that there comes a point when you no longer are a believer in Jesus. And you no longer believe. And that disqualifies you for the prize of salvation. I could spend a lot more time on that, but I won't. But if I'm leaving you with a lot of questions, I love to have conversation over tea or coffee. So call me up and let's talk more about this. The prize of salvation. And then Paul is also talking in this text of the prize. And this is a bit harder to get wrap your minds around, but I hope you can understand this morning. This prize of sharing the gospel blessings. I don't like that phrase, but it's the best I could come up with. So Paul talks about, in the first part of the text, about he becomes a slave to all people to bring many to Christ. To the Greeks, he'll become like the Greeks. So he'll do, in my own words, whatever it takes to influence as many people as possible to follow Jesus, to serve Jesus. Because there's incredible blessings in this life of following Jesus. When Peter, after Jesus was ascended to heaven, Peter and John were walking to the temple, is that right? And they saw lame man. I should have read this story to refresh my mind. A lame man, help me out. And he said, this is the phrase I remember, the man said, give me money. And Peter said to him, silver and gold have I none. King James again, but in the name of Jesus Christ, rise up and walk. The blessing of knowing Jesus, of receiving healing. and peace and joy and freedom from guilt and bondage of healing a broken relationship. Incredible blessings. And so Paul, the prize that he was after was to influence as many people as he can to follow Jesus, to worship Jesus, to give their heart to Jesus, to be saved. And so that he and many others would, at the day of judgment, hear the words of God, with the day of your death, as I understand the scriptures, or if Jesus comes back, when he does, before you die, and you will hear these words, "Well done, good and faithful servant. Enter thou into the joy of the Lord." So that prize of salvation, but also along with that is walking the streets of gold in heaven and having people say to you, "You know, your life influenced me to follow Jesus. I saw your life. I watched you. I watched you at home. I watched you at work. I watched you at school day after day after day. I watched you. And I finally decided that I want what you have. There's something in your life that I want." And they won't say this, but it is the blessings of Jesus, the gospel blessings, the fruit in your life. They see that and they say, "I want that. I want that too." I've heard that from different them. So excited over the years. I hear that from people. "I saw this person at Oakdale and I want what they want." Unfortunately, I've also heard the opposite over the years, just to be candid. "If they're a Christian, I'll never be one. If that's what Christians do, I don't want anything to do with it." That's sobering. Please watch your life carefully. Run the race. Discipline your life in such a way so that you will not be disqualified for the prize. And that prize includes influencing many others to be a follower of Jesus. That's what Paul wanted more than anything. You go through the text, it just comes out, and in many other texts in the New Testament. He wanted to influence others to follow Jesus. And that was the prize that he was striving for. The prize of not only the insurance of salvation, but to live the blessings of the gospel in such a way that people will look at your life and say, "I want what you have." Paul said, "Follow my example as I follow Christ." And that's what I want for my family, my children, for you as a congregation, for my neighbors. It's incredibly humbling, but I want them to say, "I watched Joe and I want to be like him." What a compliment. Unfortunately, I know that can't always be said. And I repent of that. And that's what God wants for you, that people look in your life and say, "I want to be like you." And it's not because you're so self-disciplined, but that you are loving the supreme thing supremely. You're loving Jesus in such a way that you're disciplining your body, your whole being. You're beating your body, Paul's words, so that you can be an example and attract others to this. Now, how do you do this? Just a quick thing here in closing. Fix your eyes on Jesus. There's no other way. Every day, you fix your eyes on Jesus. And Jesus, the example he gave us, Jesus ran this race of life, and he ran it really well. And at the end of his life, his reward was a crown of thorns. That crown was for the crown of thorns was what you and I deserved, the punishment for our sin. But he took that crown of thorns so that you and I could be forgiven of our sins and receive the crown of life, salvation. And the joy, the prize that motivated Jesus when he took that crown of thorns was you and I wearing the crown of life. Do you get it? That motivated Jesus. He disciplined himself because he wanted you and I to wear the crown. And you can wear that crown through surrendering your life to Jesus. In fact, we have on our Connect communication card at the very top there. Just take a look at that. I have decided to follow Jesus. And if you're here and you want to make that decision today, check that box and give that card to one of us pastors, and we'd love to talk with you about that. Where I've rededicated my life to Christ, that's another option there. Just let us know if you have made the decision to really focus your life on following Jesus, loving the supreme thing. So we consider Jesus, and that motivates us. Now I'm out of time, and I was supposed to talk to you about physical training, and I have to admit, I really didn't want to talk much about this. I got so excited about the text, and I did such a bad job of it. And I can't, with integrity, stand up here and talk to you about all this discipline, because I'm struggling myself with this. But I'm committed to beating my body, to make it in subjection, so that I can do my best to win the prize, because I love Jesus so much. I'm committed to working on healthy eating habits. I know it's important. And my daughters go to nursing school and they come home and say, "Dad, why are you eating this way?" And I'm going to go, "Because it tastes good, that's why." And I know I have to discipline myself more to eat healthy. And a lot of us are like that. Regular exercise. Too many important things to do. I don't have time to exercise. Good grief. But I know I need to do it. And so I'm committed to having a healthy lifestyle of eating healthy, regular exercise. The sleep is a little easier for me. And that's so important. Sometimes the most spiritual thing you can do is go take a nap. Huh? The most spiritual thing you can do is go to sleep. When I have a lack of sleep, I'm amazed at how unspiritual I become and how grumpy, and I'm not following Jesus like He wants me to. So it all starts with getting to bed on time. Quit the movie or whatever you're doing. Go to bed at a decent time. Get your sleep. Get up. Do this regularly, and it will help you to be physically fit. All right, Christian, if you can come up, and we're going to invite you to stand. We're going to sing this song, "I'd Rather Have Jesus Than Anything," because I'm going to invite you to make this commitment this morning to make Jesus the thing that you love supremely. The most important love in your life is to love Jesus. And as you do that, God will prosper you, bless you, with self-control. We love this verse in Jeremiah. "I have plans for you, plans to prosper you and to give you good things." We love that. But the very next verse in that is that "you will seek me, you will find me if you seek me with all your heart." Discipline yourself to win the prize. Mm-hmm.